happy. Ooh. Shiny happy people holding happiness. Reveal yourself to me.
It may not be easy to describe, but we know it when we hear it.
Yes.
I'm Anna Sale in for Celeste Headlie today, and I'm so happy to be here with John Hockenberry.
Oh, I'm so happy, too.
Are you happy this morning, John?
I am happy, even when that mashup really whacks you over the head with happiness. Even being whacked over the head with happiness puts a smile on my face.
But we don't have a very exact method of measuring happiness, and that's something the United Nations is looking into today at a meeting. So who'd they call up? Tom Barefoot. He's the founder and co-coordinator of Gross National Happiness USA, an organization that seeks to encourage the use of alternative indicators to measure what matters. And he's with us this morning in the studio. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to ask you about this global conversation about happiness. It seems to me that whether someone is happy is pretty culturally specific. How do you come up with a global index for happiness?
Well, you dig down about one layer and you find that actually we're a lot more similar than we are different. It used to be believed that happiness was just a totally individual thing, and what made one person happy probably wasn't going to do it for somebody else. But when you look at the bigger picture, you see that there are patterns, and there, now that we've got some new technologies that allow us to see what goes on in the brain when people do things, we now see that there's a lot of similarity. For example, you take two college students and you give each a $100 bill and you tell one of them, go out and spend it on themselves. You tell the other one to go out and spend it on other people. At the end of the day, they come back in, you put them in the lab and you take a look at what's been going on in their brain. You measure their dopamine levels, the chemicals in your brain that correlate with your happiness. And what do you get? The person that was giving the money to other people is happier. And you can repeat that experiment over and over again.
Now, you don't have the United Nations going into my brain and doing like dopamine experiments now, do you?
No.
Good.
So if giving away, the ability to give away money is part of happiness, how does personal wealth correlate to happiness?
Well, it turns out that as you get more and more money, it does increase your happiness to a certain point. But once you reach that point, it flattens out. And for the last 50 years in the United States, it's been flatter going down. So we've already passed the level of enough to where things like family and friends and being outdoors and doing something useful in the world actually give more contribution to your happiness than you would get from more money.
Well, so let me ask you, so if you're looking at policies that would increase happiness, if there's this baseline of material success that has to be achieved for you to have happiness, do you look at first, how do we create enough economic opportunity, which may come with mobility, which may come with moving away from family and community networks? Or do you look at these community networks and family are really key to happiness? How do you sort of incorporate those two things?
First thing is I would start getting rid of that either-or dichotomy. We make a big mistake when we say, well, I got to do jobs or I got to do environment or those kinds of dichotomies, because what we really need to do is to spend enough time with our family and friends and some time with nature so that we can actually lead a balanced life. So we need some of both, and we need to moderate the growth-only thing. And that's really what the UN conference is about, is it's getting beyond the gross domestic product, that drumbeat that you hear on the news is the measure of how are we doing every day, and switch to other measures which tell us something about how are we doing together? How are we doing taking care of the planet? How are we doing spreading well-being around? And it turns out once you get off the material stuff, there's an unlimited amount of good ideas. There's an unlimited amount of love and caring and doing something that's more important than just yourself that you can do. So it doesn't mean you'd have to take it away from somebody to give it to somebody else.
So let me, you have Syria, you have these democracy movements, you, as we just talked about, the Arab Spring, Myanmar. Talking about happiness at the UN, it sounds a little touchy-feely. So what's your case for why the UN should be focusing on this today? Why is this serious?
Well, I think we've started to learn that what you measure is what you get. So for a long time, we've been measuring GDP. And so what do we get? We get more growth because kicking the indicator up is about what we've been trained to do as living beings. So you take divorce, for example. What does that do? Oh, you need two houses, you need two refrigerators, you need two cars, GDP goes up. Is divorce a good thing? I don't think so.
What you're saying. Hmm. So how would you, I mean, we use GDP to rank countries, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the U.S. has the biggest economy in the world. Would you say here's the giddiest, smile-filled place in the world, or the happiest place in the world, or the most contented in the world, or the most balanced place in the world? I mean, what are you measuring here other than just happiness?
Oh, I like all those other words. And as we start to measure some of those kinds of things, as we start to measure well-being in terms of, let's say, physical health, in terms of time balance is such a good one because we're really bad at it in the U.S. We don't spend enough time with our family and friends. We spend a lot of time at work, and then we come home tired and spend a lot of time with the TV.
So Sweden and Fiji are happiness superpowers.
They are indeed, both of them. Scandinavia does great, and Central America, Costa Rica, is on many studies the happiest place on the planet.
So we're not so much about happiness here in America. We're about the pursuit of happiness. How could the U.S. be more like Costa Rica?
Spend more time on other important things like family and friends and get out in nature and do something for a cause that's bigger than oneself. Volunteer.
And it'll make you happy. That's Tom Barefoot, founder and co-coordinator of Gross National Happiness USA. He'll be at the United Nations today for this conference about happiness. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You'll be the one with the smile on your face. Hard to miss.
Actually, it's such a great group. They're wonderful people that come to these meetings.
That's fantastic.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.